Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Where's the ring?
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit and rap for power? You son of a bitch, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black Power family, this is Sister Fasami coming to you live from, as our brother Sean Kwali says, the hills of North America. Today's show is actually going to be about can we have or can we get unity? Is it possible? Can we have unity among a people who are so divided based on the pigment? How much melanin content is in your skin, or what ether your hair is, or what church you go to, or what religion you are, and what's your socioeconomic status, and what neighborhood do you live in, what family do you belong to. It's a host of things that divide us. So today we're going to be exploring, can we actually have unity? You see a lot of these teabaggers, neo-Nazis. You see a lot of these KKK members, Aryan Nation, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity. You see all these people who may fundamentally have different ideologies. However, they believe in white power, regardless of what their socioeconomic status is. They believe in white power regardless of what neighborhood or family they belong to or anything like that. So I'm wondering, when it comes to us, new Africans, black people here in North America, is there any way we can truly have unity? And with unity comes organization. That's the key right there, just to y'all know I don't like saying y'all know I don't like saying piggyback, so I'm going to go ahead and say veggie back off of our national chairman. When he was on the show last week, he was discussing organization. That is the key. Well, you can't have organization if you don't have unity. Got to have some kind of unity. And one of the things that the New Black Panther Party prides itself on is no matter what your socioeconomic status is, what church, mosque, or synagogue you go to, no matter what the situation is, we strive on we're built on a political structure, and we're built on you can check all that stuff at the door, and let's come put our boots to this pavement and get to work. It doesn't matter, you know, what your background is. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter. It's about what you're doing today and what you're going to do for your people in the future. So that being said, let's go ahead and dig into can we really have unity? Before I dig into that, let me bring y'all some news. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with the woman who lost her child in Indianapolis after she got beat by the Indianapolis Gestapo. This woman literally lost her little black baby after being so brutally beat and accosted by the Indianapolis Police Department. I'm going to read y'all this, family, real quick. I'm going to make it short, as our chairman always say, I'm not going to be long, but I'm going to be strong. Indianapolis, a complaint has been filed in federal court claiming that an IMPD officer beat a pregnant woman so severely she had a miscarriage. LaDonna Dixon says in the complaint that she was assisting a friend who had suffered a seizure and collapsed on the front lawn of her home. As she was getting her friend medicine, the complaint says IMPD officer Scott Childers arrived. Dixon asked Childers to give her friend the medicine, but he refused. Childers told Dixon to go inside of her house, but when she did, he roughly grabbed her by the arm. Dixon told the officer to be careful because she's pregnant. That's when she says Childers sprayed her and kicked her and beat her until she blacked out. Dixon was booked in the Marion County Adult Processing Center, and that's where she lost her baby. So, family, when we sit up here and we read stuff like this and we hear about stuff like this, I got to ask, what is stopping us from organizing and having unity? We see the assault that's happening when it comes to our children, our grandmothers, our grandfathers, like I said, our sons, our daughters, our women, our men. It's all out war. And we're still divided by petty things. We're still divided about, like I said, stupid stuff that's really irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, because you can pray to or be who you want to be or be into whatever it is that you want to be in, but the bottom line comes down to, are we going to get free? Are we going to have unity? Are we going to get organized when it comes to our freedom? There's another story down here in South Carolina, Kershaw County. I'm going to go ahead and read that to you real quick. This is from Sled Chief on Kershaw County deputy beating. This Sled Chief, he said this incident in Kershaw County was disturbing. On Tuesday, South Carolina Law Enforcement Division Director Reggie Lloyd called video of an inmate beating inside the Kershaw County Detention Center disturbing. The video captured by Detention Center Sallyport security camera showed Sheriff Sergeant Odie Tribble Jr. beating an inmate with the steel police baton. Lloyd announced late Monday that Sled and the FBI referred the case to the U.S. Justice Department for potential prosecution for civil rights violation. The video depicts a 2.5-minute long beating of an inmate, Charles Shelley. Lloyd's agents were dispatched to Kershaw County last Friday morning to investigate the attacks in this video. It was disturbing. I think every one of our guys who viewed it described it that way, Lloyd said. The video showed Tribble land 27 hits on Shelley's legs. The beating left the inmate with a broken right leg and a gash on his other leg that required stitches to close. One of the things you're looking for is what prompted that sort of exchange. What may have led up to it, but obviously when you watch it, we had the same reaction I'm sure a lot of the general public did, Lloyd said. In a report filed within hours of the beating, Tribble wrote that Shelley threatened him and his family's lives on the ride to the jail. Tribble reported that Shelley pulled away from him twice inside of the detention center before the sergeant pulled out his baton in an effort to get Shelley to comply with the officer's orders. This is going to be one or two more paragraphs. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up because I want to go ahead and dig into this. In the report, the video shows at least three other officers standing within feet of the beating, but the video does not show any of the other officers intervening. Lloyd said part of the Justice Department's civil rights investigation will deal with the actions of the other officers. One of the things you want to do is not just look at who was the offending officer, for example, but who else might have been involved? Who else had an obligation or duty to that detainee? Lloyd, a former federal prosecutor and circuit court judge, helped for the task force of SLED and FBI agents to track down and prosecute civil rights violation cases across the state. When you look at these when you look at these from a civil rights standpoint, you are actually looking at I can't read tonight, people, please forgive me. Was there deprivation of the constitutional rights? Were you made safe? Lloyd said, WIS, that's a news station down here, not just the individuals who perpetuated a potential violation against you, whether it is an assault or otherwise, but who else was present, who else was involved, or who else should have intervened in making sure your rights were protected. Now, getting back to this, the police officer said this man threatened him, his life. This man is handcuffed while he's being transported to the detention center. He threatened his lives and the lives of his children. He jerked away twice. Well, there's not much he can do to you when he's handcuffed with his hands behind his back. And you're going to sit up here and beat this man 27 times on his legs. Now, if you have to use necessary force to make sure a detainee or an inmate complies with your orders, so be it. Jail is not supposed to be fun, so I hear. However, when you use unnecessary brutality against a person just because they jerk away from you two times and you have some verbal exchange with somebody who's in jail, you're going way too far. But this is the kind of injustice that we are dealing with on a daily basis. This is just the stuff that made the news. What about the things that have not made the news? What about the things that are going down in Baton Rouge? What's going on in Baton Rouge? I bet y'all haven't heard about that. The reason why you haven't heard about that, because it doesn't make news. My thing is, Black family, when are we going to get united? When are we going to say, you know what? I'm tired. We've had just about enough. When are we actually going to organize? So, digging into that, let's look at these white organizations who are actually, you know what, I was talking to Brother Raw the other day, and I guess he had listened to Aisha's segment, and she had said something to him, she had said something to, in an interview one time, and she had said something to the effect of, we're the only people that have a movement that's not moving anywhere. Now, I'm going to digress a little bit from not moving anywhere, because we are making strides. There are people out here working to make sure our people are on that righteous path of freedom or to freedom. However, what I'm asking my listening audience is, when you look at these teabagger movements, this teabagger movement just sprouted up within the last couple of years. It's not that old. They have hundreds of thousands of members. The KKK, they have had an influx of membership. The neo-Nazis, the skinheads, the Aryan Nation, whatever they're called, have had an influx. The Midwest, where I'm originally from, born and raised, on that 75 and I-70 corridor, has had an alarmingly increased in white militia groups. However, we're still sitting around here twiddling our thumbs, wondering what can we do to help us get free. What can we do? Well, the first step is unity. The second step is organizing. We have to check our egos at the door. We have to check, like I said, our religious beliefs at the door. It all depends on, as I said before, and I'll say it time and time again, it all depends on how free you really want to get. The New Black Panther Party, like I said, is a political organization that prides itself on getting the job completed, regardless. But how many of these other black organizations that you see out here, I mean, it's a host of them. I'm not going to name them by name, so I don't want to give them any kind of publicity. But how many of them have you seen actually join? None of them will denounce us now. None of them will denounce us. However, how many have you seen come out in force to support us and us support them? Reciprocity. You don't see it. Everybody wants to be the chief. Nobody wants to be the Indian. Everybody wants to be the chef. Nobody wants to be the waiter. Everybody wants to have this ego as if that they're the tireless freedom fighters. They never gave any rest because they're constantly fighting for freedom. So my question is, and feel free to chime in. The phone number is 646-478-4777. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns when it comes to this particular subject, but I'm confused and I'm getting very angry. I've told a couple of people who are very close to me about my situation here personally at home. There is a neighbor of mine who is actually taking it upon himself to destroy my personal property, my car, as far as slashing my tires and bashing out my window over a dog, over a pit bull. It's really not that serious. It's really not that dramatic to sit up here and destroy somebody's property over a dog that I asked you to keep locked up or on a leash and keep it from around me and my yard, and my safety is in danger. But I get attacked, verbally attacked. I get told that this person is going to kill me. He tells me this to my face, and he, like I said, he destroys my personal property because of this. Black family, when are we going to get over stuff like this? Is it really that serious? And if we keep on down this road, will we ever really get free? I ask myself often, what am I doing this for? Because it really seems as if no one cares. Everybody wants to be e-gangsters. Everybody wants to be beefing with one another. You have the Hebrew Israelites against the Moors. It's against the Nation of Islam. It's against this person. I mean, it's just utter nonsense. It's utter chaos. How badly do we want to be free? Because my thing is, I'm thinking to myself, why are we doing this? The only thing that keeps me going, the only thing that keeps me going is the fact that when I transcend from this plane, I want my ancestors to be pleased with my work. I can care less about mere mortals anymore. I can care less about them because it seems as though everybody takes this as a joke. It seems as if everyone is taking this for a joke, but for the large part, for the most part, it seems as though people are taking this as a game. Our lives are not a game. We're putting our lives, our freedom, our family, our resources, our money, everything on the line for this. And it seems as though it is a joke. But I have to keep going and I have to keep dredging forward. I have to keep my eyes on the prize because I never want to fall off this path and my ancestors ask me, child, why didn't you do such and such or whatever the case may be. So I have to keep going and I have to stay focused. If that was not my spiritual belief or whatever, comparing my spiritual belief with anybody else's, whatever your spiritual path is, that's fine with me. But that's, like I said, that's what's keeping me focused. If I didn't have some kind of foundation like that, I'm not sure if I could really keep going on this path, like I said, when it seems as though no one seems to really care about a black woman losing her child. This mother down here in Orangeburg County, she killed her two babies because she was so depressed. She was being told and beat down by her mother, being told that she's not a good mother. She doesn't have a job. She can't take care of her children. So she decided to, what was that white girl's name back in the early 90s? Susan Smith, who drowned her two babies. I guess she wanted to imitate her and drown her two little boys, her two little infant toddler boys. It's so depressing when you think about the grand scheme of things, but we just got to keep moving forward. So now I'm about to go to the chat room, and I'm about to go to the switchboard, and I want to find out, I want to get to some solutions, because family, I'm not going to lie to you. I can work with anyone. I can work with Christians. I can work with Muslims. I can work with, matter of fact, those brothers and sisters who came down to Newberry, and when we were actually talking, you know, they will all testify that I never bring up religion because I don't want to, that's not even our issue. We don't even need to discuss that. What are we going to do for the Hill family? What are we going to do to make sure a hate crime is added on to Gregory Collins' case? That's all I care about. I don't care about who you pray to and what you pray to. All I want to know is how we're going to get free. And though I do not trust working with certain individuals for certain reasons, I will say this. I'm coming to the conclusion that all of these so-called conscious people are making a very simple situation more complicated than what it needs to be. Do you want to get free or not? Yes or no. The answer is very simple. You don't have to confuse it with esoteric rhetoric. All you need to do is tell me if you want to be free or not. Now, I had to rethink my first stance on Christianity and would I want to fight with a Christian. You know what? If he's willing to bang on that beast, I'm going to have to roll with him because I'm getting a little jaded and discouraged when it comes to what's going on in our community, family. And maybe, like I said, maybe I can shed some light on it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just becoming jaded and I'm feeling some kind of way about that. But how can we get unity? How can we check that stuff at the door? I don't want to be part of the problem. I want to be part of the solution. So I might have to work with a couple of Christians. I might have to work with a couple of Muslims, a couple of Jews, a couple of people who are in the Star Set Society, a couple of people who are Hebrew Israelites, whatever the case may be, a Moor or two. You know, I might have to work with them if they're willing to make sure, or if they're willing to work with me under the premise of, let's build our black nation. Let's get free. Period. So, like I said, Brother Sun Nubian, I see you ain't here, Brother Pianchi. Brother Pianchi, you are absolutely correct. We do need some Marcus Garvey and Nat Turner Christians. Absolutely. They are, I wish I could clone them, brothers. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, I really wish I could clone them. I wish, one of the things I do respect about Islam is that they will fight. They're not afraid to die because they have been taught that you fear nobody but Allah. That's it. But everybody else is so scared, and fighting for freedom or a jihad or whatever the case may be is a badge of honor, and you'll go down as a martyr. And they understand the concept of death is not the final, that's not the end-all, be-all. But once again, I'm not going to get into theological conversation tonight because that's not what it's about. Well, kind of, sort of, but not really. It's really not about theology and what you subscribe to and your belief systems and all that. Other than, is your belief system, is your religion, like it was posed to me, is your religion black power? Is your religion black nation building? Is your religion who you being a new African? Is that what your religion is? All right, fine. But like I said, I think I'm feeling some kind of way and jaded tonight. I'm in rare form, people. So we do, like I said, Brother Pianchi, we do need some Marcus Garvey and Nat Turner Christians. But what is y'all take on the fact that this woman has lost her child, that the police, a few months back, shoots and kills a 7-year-old girl and burns her body with a grenade. Oscar Grant, police officer, assassins, they get to walk basically on some manslaughter bullcrap. Sean Bell was killed on his wedding's eve. You got this sister who was in Indianapolis pregnant, beat so severely she lost her child. And this Kershaw County police officer who beats a detainee so severely that he suffers a broken leg and a gash so deep that it takes stitches or sutures to patch it up. I want to know what is it going to take after seeing all of this to actually unite with one another, because it doesn't matter, like I said, your religion or anything like that, because it can happen to you. What would be your take on it? And you know what, Sister Tamara, you know I'm coming to you. All right, 515-779, you're on the air.
Peace.
Peace, sis, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What is your take on it? Yeah, I opened your line, but what is your take on it?
What is my take on us getting free?
Or us uniting? We need to unite. What is your take on it? How do you
well,
think we can actually do it?
my take is this. I tell everybody this all the time. Basically, you can't have no sympathizers. You can't have no compromisers. You can't have no fence riders. I don't care what you are. If you are a Christian, if you are Muslim, if you are Nubian, if you are Hebrew Israelite, if you study Kemet, I don't care. As long as you know who our enemy is, that damn devil, and that you for our people and only for our people, I'll ride with you. I don't care.
Okay. Well,
but
let me ask you a question real quick. Now, say for instance, I'm not going to even ask you that because I already know the answer to it. I'm just going to piss you off. I was going to do it for controversy's sake, but I'm not going to do it. I was about to ask you, what if a white person wants to sit up here and unite with you? Because they're more, it seems as though to me, what I'm seeing is they're more willing to unite with you than our own folks.
No, I wouldn't, because for some fact, they got it. I always saw that white person got a hidden agenda. So, no, I wouldn't. The thing is this. Our problem is that we got to get rid of these pacified niggas, these niggas that ain't going to change or whatever. You know, they just as bad as our problem as the white man is. Some people, we got to just realize some of our people are not going to wake up. So we gotta separate the real from the fake, and
mm-hmm.
That's how we're gonna unite. You know what I'm saying? Get
absolutely.
Stuff done.
Absolutely.
It's some people that we can wake up, but I feel like it's so many more that just ain't gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? I had a talk with my physical brother. He was like, you know, I ain't talking about your way of life. You antisocial. I'm like, if me being antisocial is not being around you and a bunch of your white friends, I guess I'm antisocial. I don't deal with white people. I deal with white people when I have to. Other than that, I don't deal with them on a regular basis. So
absolutely.
If people look at me racist or whatever.
I already knew the answer to that. I just wanted to throw that out there for people who are thinking that way. You know, to go ahead and set the record straight on. We still, no matter how bad and dismal it looks or whatever, and it looks hella dismal, I'm not going to lie to you, sis. There's still no compromising when it comes to uniting with them. You cannot compromise, like you said. But anyway, go ahead, sis. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, remember I told you that someone told me when a black person is not right, you got to question it. When they do something bad, you got to question it. And when a white person do something good, you got to question it. You know, because, you know, it's not our nature, even though a lot of us have became the devil's advocate, you know. That's not our true nature. The white man has been the devil, past, present, and if we don't get it right, future. I mean, my thing is, I feel that we need to push them back to the cocky fountain or kill them all. Keep it real. I'm just keeping it 100%. I don't want to deal with no white person. And I'm funny about organizations and stuff that do deal with white people. You know what I'm saying? So... But that's just my personal thing. You know, I just don't really want to deal with no one that deal with white people, just keeping it real.
Absolutely. Are you familiar, Brother Pianchi just put it in the chat room, Brother Maurice Clemens, are you familiar with that situation?
Maurice Clemens? No.
Yeah.
No, enlighten me.
Let me read what he went ahead and put in the chat room. Wait a minute, don't get it twisted. That's right, Brother Son Nubian. Don't get it twisted. The devil can do good, but he is still the goddamn devil. You're not lying. But Maurice Clemens was an American felon, as they say on Wikipedia. He's an American felon, black man, who was responsible for the November 29, 2009 murder of four police officers.
Oh, yes.
In Lake
yes,
Louisville,
I know about that. I know about that.
Speak on it, Queen. Enlighten us, please.
Basically, I'm keeping it real. I thought he did his justice. I mean, he lost his life in the crossfire, but I mean, he did some justice. You know,
so what
after
would you say to people, what would you say to people? Oh, okay, y'all crying about police officers beating y'all and killing y'all. So why is it okay, and why are you justifying Maurice Clemens killing 4 police officers?
Because for the simple fact that, because for the simple fact that when a police officer kills one of us, it's not even looked at upon as murder. It's either second degree murder, manslaughter, or something else. Now, if we killed a police officer, it's first degree murder. We premeditated it, and it could have been, you know, that they were trying to kill us first, and we acted in self defense. So no.
Right.
And that goes for black police officers too. If you knew what you were doing when you signed up with the police, you know, the police department, you become our enemy. You're not helping us at all.
Right.
I know there's some people that may join to get some insight, whatever, but eventually you become the enemy. You got to do a job, and usually it's against your own people. So, no, I have no sympathy for those white police officers that got killed. Just
and
like
I'm gonna go ahead and give it some more substance to what you say. I'm gonna go ahead and put a little bit more meat on that particular topic. The fact that, you know, the reason why we can sit up here and justify or say, you know, he did his job. He did, such as the brother up there, and what was that? And I want to say, where did he shot up Anheuser-Busch?
Was that
Omar,
Maryland?
Somebody put it in the chat room. Yeah, it just happened. It just happened.
Right.
The brother who shot up his coworkers after being fired because they had been racist and leaving racist comments in his lockers and all this, that, and the third. But anyway, the reason why we can sit up here and say, you know what, they did a good deed. They did their justice, because when you deal with the people who have been overtly discriminated against and have been subjected to racism in unknown and in untold proportions, as far as our babies being cut out of our stomach and used as gator bait, as far as our grandmothers and grandfathers being used as heifers and bucks to breed on these breeding farms, our little boys being raped and used as sex slaves. When you speak of this kind of degenerate, nasty, filthy, low-down, dirty racism, overt racism, and you take that same system of racism, white supremacy, and you put it into institutions such as law enforcement or the judicial, legal arena or area of life, and you institutionalize it, and you make it now covert, we can sit up here and justify us fighting back against this very same system that keeps brutalizing and terrorizing our people. So when one of us finally bucks back and starts taking out a couple of these pigs and devils, it's justifiable. It's called justifiable wrath. Since this is a Judeo-Christian country, everybody should go ahead and get to their Bibles and look at what justifiable wrath is. This is justifiable wrath. So, therefore, that's why we can sit up here and give Brother Maurice Clemens and the other brother who just shot a Anheuser-Busch, not condoning that kind of behavior, but I'm saying you can only push a human being so far until they are tired, and now they want to start fighting back. But I'm wondering when that spirit is going to be invoked in all of us, sister. What can we do to unite?
Basically, that's my partake on how we can unite, but it seems like that's not even, you know what I'm saying? You can be like, okay, I'm not going to argue about religion. Okay, I'm not going to argue about this and that. Then you wind up uniting with people, and then they're okay with being gay, and it's just like, whoa. I'm like, that's the part of the downfall of our community, you know, and, you know, it's always a stumbling block of why we can't not unite. And I try my best to do what I can do with our people, but sometimes it's just not good enough.
Well, I'm going to tell You, what my brother God Zulu has always told me, be, live, and be that which it is you want to see, basically. And so does, now I see Brother On Point in here, Brother Majestic. He always says, live the power, be the power. So that change that you want to see, that thing, that thing that it is that you want to see, you have to live it. You understand what I'm trying to say? Like you just said,
right.
You know, I can come onto my page any given day. Hey, sis, love you. Just stopping through to tell you I love you. You're giving that love, and you're bridging those gaps within our community to let everybody know, look, I might follow the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and sister, you might be Yoruba, but you know what? We both want a free black nation.
Exactly. And
so
that's why we get along great.
And that's why
we get along great, because we have one of the agenda is getting our people free, you know.
Absolutely.
Getting something for ourselves. We need liberation. We need our own land. And people be like, let's go back to Africa. This is all of ours. This whole planet is ours. We don't have to go nowhere. We can stay where we want to stay. This is ours. No, they need to go wherever the hell they need to go. No, this is ours. So, yes, I feel that Africa is ours, because that is, to me, the motherland. But all of this is ours, because we are the originators of this planet, of this universe. So, no. You know, but so, like I said, my thing is, I feel that I can unite with anyone as long as they got that same agenda of black power, black nationalism, and hopefully we can wake some people up and get it together. So,
yeah, and you kind of like really don't even want to say black first, because somebody who is an unscrupulous Negro uses that saying so much, but it's real, you know, it's real. I'm not going to take this platform right here and drag anybody through the mud. That'll be tomorrow on my own show.
Which I will be listening to.
Thank you so much, sis. But, you know, you kind of don't want to say that, but it's the truth. The fact that you have to have that mind frame, you have to have that mindset that everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm saying, every waking moment that I spend, it should be spent on how to build a nation, or talking to someone about building a nation, bouncing ideas off of each other, how to build a nation, not this esoteric, you know, Jupiter, Pluto, planet, nebulae, or whatever the heck they're talking about, bull crap. You know what I'm saying? It's, the bottom line is, are we going to get a nation here on Earth right here, or are we going to perish? And that's, like I said, that's why I'm feeling some kind of way tonight. I know I'm not my normal hyper animated self, because I've been really thinking about this, and I've been looking, and I've been using my five senses to try to, you know, tap into my discernment and try to figure out, well, what the hell are we doing? And I can keep talking about the problem, but I just want to know, I know you can work with anybody from any culture, any religious background, any socioeconomic status, any whatever. But how do you think that we can get everybody to be like that? I mean, they want to imitate the white man so much. They want to imitate these devils so much. Why can't you imitate them when it comes to unity?
Exactly, because some they do that well, too. They can put down that one's a Catholic, one's a Christian, one's a Protestant, when it's trying to rule over any person that has a darker skin color than them, they do it. So why can't we do that? And, you know, especially since we imitate them so much and so well, why can't you do that? You know, so I sometimes I just shake my head and just be like, sometimes you feel like giving up and like, why am I doing this? But you wake up the next day because I don't know nothing else. I got to keep doing this. And, you know, once you wake up, it's stupid to go back to sleep. You know, so basically keep
you
striving.
You can't go back to sleep even if you want to. You know, have you ever been in that twilight zone where the sleep, you're just about to go really deep into sleep, and then somehow, some way, you're abruptly awakened by some kind of loud noise or something, right? And when you wake up, you're feeling all jittery and nervous, and you're shaking because you're, like, startled. You're scared. That's the same thing. You can't get back to sleep after that. You're pissed off in a mug. Oh, you pissed off. But you have to stay awake now. And that's the same thing when you come into your consciousness and you're doing this. You have no choice but to stay awake. You can't go back to sleep. Like you said, it's not even about being stupid if you go back to sleep. You can't.
Exactly. And I totally agree with you on that.
So I don't know how else to put it, but you want me to leave your mic open, sis, or do you want me to go ahead and put you back on mute?
It doesn't matter. You can keep me on or you can mute me.
Well, go ahead. I want you to stay on the line with me tonight, all right, sis? Because I need some motivation tonight. I need something to kick up in me. It'll probably happen within the next 20 minutes. I don't know. The last hour I always be live than the first hour. I'm just like, yo, I'm just in one of those, what is it called, melancholy?
Yeah.
Kind of just, anyway, we got another call. Actually, Brother John, I'm going to get to you in 1 second. I want to take my sis. Is this Sister Maharu?
Hotep, sister.
Hotep, sis, how are you?
I'm okay.
I know you're embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. They can't see you.
I'm only doing it for you. I love you.
I love you, too. And don't forget, I'm about to dedicate a whole show to you. However, and whoever has their assistant tomorrow, are you in front of the computer? Okay, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for turning that computer down because I heard a whole lot of reverb or feedback or whatever. But,
yeah, I put my phone on mute, but I'm still here.
Okay, that's fine. All right, Sister Maharu, for all those who don't know who this is the sister that I had been ranting and raving about. This is the sister who, I'm gonna let you tell your story, but it's a disheartening story. It's a hurtful story. It's a sad story. But the saddest part about it is it's not just her. She's not the only sister who is going through what she's going through. Because DSS and the powers that be are running amok making sure that our black families are torn apart and that they stay apart. Sister, could you please, this is the sister that I've been working with in Colombia, and I'm back in commission almost, sis. I'll be back in commission tomorrow as far as coming back up there. I got my tires. I'm ready to go.
All right.
So could you please tell them your story, sis, from the beginning, and let's hear what's going on, because I'm going to tie this into this whole unity thing and why we need our own black nation.
Okay. Well, for starters, me and my husband, we have 2 children. At the time, was 10 and 8. And we decided within consciousness that we wanted to have another baby because when we had our other 2, we were not into consciousness. We was in a matrix. So we put in that effort, and I became pregnant after removing the IUD. So, you know, we had our baby naturally, no drugs. We did, you know, the vegan thing. We did everything naturally. We had our baby. We named him Minta. And we, let's say, just no drugs, as I stated. And when we had him, everything went fine. We recorded to birth, and I actually upload some of it on Facebook, if any of you are my friends. After we had him, he was, 23 days old? And we started noticing that day particularly that he wasn't feeding well. By him not feeding well, I got along. And my husband, he was like, no, let's just watch him. I fed him. I was breastfeeding. And normally he would latch on for about 20 minutes. This particular day, he probably was sucking for about 5 minutes. And then later on that night, he vomited, and not a baby spit up. It came out like a child that has acid reflux. and that alarmed me. After that happened, I automatically came to the conclusion that that's why he wasn't feeding well throughout the day. Maybe he had an upset stomach. Through the night, he was a little fussy. Nothing that alarmed me, but fussy. He was passing gas and nothing more to that. That morning when he woke up, one of his eyes looked a little lazy to me. I asked my husband. He was like, yeah, he would call the scared one. And at that time, he was like, well, he started to get scared. So, he started doing little things like when he extended his arms, that was like took over the cake for us. I was like, I'm calling the doctor. We called. They was like, you need to bring him into the emergency room. It sounded like he's having a seizure. We took him to a children's clinic, which is the only one here in Columbia, South Carolina. We took him there. Once we got there, the first thing they asked me when he got to the back was I diagnosed with group beta stress? I said, yeah, because I was. I was test positive for it. And they was like, the symptoms that I let them know my son was having was consistent with meningitis. And they wanted to do a lumbar puncture, which is a spinal tap. And, of course, I was alarmed, doing everything natural. I'm like, he's only 24 days old at this time because it was the next day. Me and my husband was like, okay, if that's the only way you can find out if he got meningitis, then go ahead and do it. We allow you to do it. We read over the paperwork, and we signed it. Well, me and my other two kids were sitting inside the waiting room, and he was in the waiting room, but he was more so at the doorway where he could see the room that my child was in because they did not allow us to stay in there with him for whatever reasons that they stated at the time. But my husband had this crazy look on his face, and I'm like, what happened? And he's telling me no. At the time, I knew it was something, but I knew he was, I guess, protecting me from not getting even more nervous than I already was. And come to find out later on, a bunch of doctors had rushed to my son's room. And the nurse came over there and said they was just concerned about his oxygen level, that not to worry, everything was fine. Well, needless to say, I found out later on they wound up doing 3 spinal taps on my son, and his brain wound up hemorrhaging. And from what they told us or what they said to us, that he had to have a CT scan. His brain needed to be looked at because when they did the spinal tap, they found blood in his fluid. Okay, they did that. Then they said, okay, his brain is shifting. We have to go find out, or he has to have surgery to release the pressure off his brain. Okay, they did that. Well, in the process of us waiting, DSS, Department of Social Services, came up there. And at the time, we didn't know who they were. They just was like, we have some people that want to talk to y'all. Me and my husband goes in there, and at this time, my kid's grandmother came up there because my son mainly started crying. It was like he wanted to leave. So we called grandma to get them. Later on, we found out they never even left the hospital. But at the time, me and my husband thought they was gone. DSS came up there, and they was like, they got a call in that we brought our son in there with a head injury. Obviously, we was caught off guard. That's not something we was expecting. And
I think you left out the fact that when you said everything was natural and vegan, you left out the fact that you didn't even allow them to give him vitamin K. And I saw that in the medical report.
Right. We didn't give no type of drugs, vitamin K, no, nothing. And vitamin K was one of the things that we declined because we wanted to do it all natural. Mm-hmm. And at this point, speaking of the Department of Social Services, I explained to them everything I just explained to y'all as far as the process with us playing him into. So there's no way that we would harm him after him. First of all, we wouldn't harm him, but he's only 24 days old. And we was very looking forward to his being here, his growth and consciousness, and seeing how all the religions and all the other things that we taught, especially how we were taught in a Christian family, how he would be a pure being. And it was an insult to us, and we was getting very emotional. And come to find out later on down the line throughout the day, They took our other two children from us. They had put them into protective custody, basically kidnapped. And, you know, that happened June 11th of this year. Still to this day, my baby autopsy isn't complete, I would say. But they're accusing me and my husband of shaken baby syndrome or some type of head trauma. And, you know, when I went to the coroner's office with my sister, Fasami, the coroner at that time told us that he had a vitamin K deficiency, which is which the symptoms are the same of shaken baby syndrome, telling us that they couldn't in our rule one or the other. That's what they told us. Well, yesterday I got a half of a autopsy report, and on that report it basically indicates that nothing, first of all, about his vitamin K deficiency whatsoever. They have everything, basically it's a botched autopsy. It's basically saying that my baby had blunt head trauma and he was abused. Forget the vitamin K deficiency that we were told he had. That's so weird. This supposedly autopsy report. And, you know, prior to us getting the autopsy, I skipped the part. My husband, he's very militant and mean. I would say at the time, my children was with their grandmother, that I did not want to necessarily go along with what was going on, but I felt that I had, because I felt that we don't have a nation to support what me and my husband wanted to do. But he felt that it start with him, pretty much, if you want to put it like that. And he left me. And I was homeschooling my children, and, you know, he was the sole provider. And needless to say, I came home.
I got to interject right here. Please speak on that. I was just about to say that, you know, imagine, family, you go, it's five of y'all who go to a hospital one night, and when you come back home, it's only two of you because one child has transcended. Two other children were kidnapped. Then you come home a couple of weeks later, your husband is gone because he doesn't want to work within the system because now he's overly zealous with the whole militancy. Go ahead, sis. I just had to paint that picture for them.
I mean, pretty much he still to this day is standing on, you know, his knowing, which, I mean, I have a hard time dealing with because I'm like, my kids, they still in the hands of his grandmother, which is a Christian, and she's making them go to church. She's making them read the Bible. She's making them say a prayer in his name. And she knows for a fact that that's not what we know.
And I'm going to tell y'all something, family. I went to the grandmother's house. Not only is she a Christian and she believes in Jesus, and you can believe in whatever you want to believe in, but as black people, I would think that you would have the Jesus with an afro or some dreadlocks. No, she has white Jesus in there. She has, in the name of white Jesus, she has white Jesus in there. She's making these children who were otherwise vegan eat pork, listen to gospel music all day. And this is the killer part, telling her children they can't call their mother when they want to, and she doesn't want her to come see her children only but two times a week. This is the kind of stuff, family. This is why I say it's so imperative that we put down all of this bull crap that we are so desperately and viciously hanging on to and build our own nation. This sister is just like every other sister who is in earshot of my voice. This brother is just like every other brother who is in earshot of my voice. They did not think this into existence. They did not wish this into existence. They did not ask for this turmoil, mischief, and mayhem in their life. It happened, and it can happen to you. You could be next. Your children could be kidnapped for no other reason. Now, when the system itself that's built on racism and white supremacy is doing an autopsy on a black baby, does not even tell you that this child in the autopsy report has a history and is known to have a vitamin K deficiency, but yet and still me and Sister Ratisha and Sister Tafita are sitting. No. It wasn't Sister Tafita at the
Tiffany.
Time. It was me, Sister Ratisha, right. And not her, but your sister girlfriend, when we went to the corners,
uh-oh,
they tried to do the polygraph bull crap.
Yeah.
Okay. They this corner said that there was a false positive for cocaine. They tested this baby for all kind of drugs and everything. And there was a false positive for cocaine polycyte or something. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, bottom line is in the autopsy, in this bogus autopsy report that she just got back, now they're saying the baby was tested positive for the cocaine. But yet and still, he shot in front of me, in front of Sister Ratisha, in front of both attorneys and an investigator and one of Sister Ratisha's friends, this coroner stated emphatically it was a false positive. It was not there. But in the coroner's report, it says the child was tested positive for cocaine. Family, it gets real funky. It gets really thick. It's really sick. They've been railroaded and bamboozled. Family.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't get it together, We in trouble.
Yeah.
We are in trouble. Sister, I want you to know something. First of October, I'm dedicating the show totally to you.
Okay.
Totally to you. And we're going to talk about the case. We're going to talk about, I'm going to have the medical records that you gave me. I'm going to have them out. And, yes, I can say she gave me the medical records. It does not violate any kind of HIPAA laws. I'm not a medical professional. So, therefore, you know what I'm saying, I can have the medical records, people. The bottom line comes down to, we're going to go through this. Maybe somebody out there can help. Maybe somebody out there has been through the very exact situation you're going through. Out of everybody that this sister decided to turn to, she decided to turn to the New Black Panther Party for help. After her husband left, if he didn't
That's
want to
right.
deal with the system, and I can understand why he didn't want to deal with the system. I really do. I don't want to deal with the system. But, you know, when you live in Rome, you got to do as Romans do. So, you know, to a certain degree, we have to work within a matrix to extract the necessary resources we need. So, that being the case, the first people that she decided to reach out to, and the only people she really decided to reach out to, was the New Black Panther Party family. She needs your help. She needs your prayer. She needs your meditation. She needs your love. She needs your well wishes. If there's anything that you can do for this sister, and like I said, anybody who can hear my voice, if there's anything that you can do for this sister, hit her up. Ma'at Haru on Facebook, you know. Hit me up. Y'all know who I am. For Tommy, I can Kunle. You know, hit me up. Tell me what it is that you want me to relay to her. Whatever it is, I'm going to make sure she gets it. So, family, I just wanted her to come on. I know I put you on Fresh Street, sis, but I love you so much. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling in. See, after you get to talking, it ain't that bad, is it?
It ain't that bad.
It's just like me and you talking on the phone. Not
that so.
Just like we be wilding out sometimes. But the bottom line comes down to, if there's anything that you can do for this sister, please. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to get up here to Columbia, and we're about to start getting some fundraising going on because we need to hurry up. It takes money to help expedite certain situations. This situation
yeah.
needs to hurry up and be expedited so she can get her babies home, so she can get the hell up out of South Carolina and back home to the love and warm and open arms of her mother. So,
right.
My thing is, family, if there's anything that y'all can do, please hit me up or please hit her up and let us know, okay? Thank you so much, Sister Ma'at Haru. Is there anything else, Queen, you want to say?
I'm looking at the chat room, and Frank Wright needs to be blocked.
What
Other
is
than
saying?
That,
I'm not even paying attention.
A whole bunch of, I'm assuming he's white. But,
I see what you're saying. So freaking disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's gone. Anyway, go ahead.
But it is what it is.
All right, sis. But thank you for calling in again. And like I say, anytime you want to call in, this line is always open for you.
Okay.
All right, love you, sis.
I love you, too. Bye.
Bye. right, family. So like I said, y'all think it's a game. Y'all think it's a joke. It's not. But and I know everybody who's listening to the show, y'all wouldn't be listening to the show if y'all thought it was a game or thought it was a joke. But I feel like that sometimes because do y'all see how serious it is? This is a real person who is, her family is gone. Her family is gone. So, you know, this is why we need to unite and organize and build our own nation. Period, point blank, end of discussion. All right. Let's see here. 313-282, you're on the air.
Peace, Queen. Peace, Black Power. This is Brother Josh Dan Elevator. How you doing?
The coolest cat on BTR. What it do, babe?
Alafia, Queen. It's good to speak to you.
Alafia, double.
No doubt, no doubt. I do want to say my heart goes out to the Queen. I was just speaking. That is a definitely major situation, and we all need to help any way we can and to bring some right to that situation. I do want to say that first.
Yes, definitely. And like I said, y'all can find her on Facebook. Ma'at Heru, M-A-A-T, next word, H-E-R-U, Ma'at Heru. And like I said, everybody, you know, darn near in the chat room know me. They know me for Samia Kunkume. They can find me through you. They can find me through Brother Sun Nubian. They can find me through Brother Priest Mashai or Mashay. I can't never pronounce his last name, but whomever, y'all can always contact me also if y'all need to get in contact with that sister, okay? But anyway, go ahead. What's up, Brother Ja?
Nothing much, Queen. Just wanted to build a little bit on the topic tonight. Can we really have unity? I think that's a powerful question, Queen, and I think it's got a lot of different layers as far as the answers go, and I think the question we should be asking is, who are we unifying with, and are these people, are we able to have unity with some of these people? Now, a lot of religious and spiritual people say that you can't mix believers and non-believers. I think that same principle can apply here in ways, sort of like water and oil doesn't mix. There's certain people you can't have unity with. You're just not going to see eye to eye on. You don't have the same goals and aspirations. So as far as those people, no, we can't have unity with them. And as far as I'm concerned, we need to bang on them hardcore. But at the same time, we don't want to burn any bridges across any bridges before we get there, right? So
absolutely.
We do have to have alliances with certain people. And you don't want to show your cards too quickly, your hand too quickly. So it is important to make sure you have those alliances. But overall, I would say we need unity with certain people. But there are certain people that we can never have unity with. And that's all I wanted to say, Quint.
Well, brother, let me ask you a question. Who are those people that you know I'm not going to let you get off the phone that easy. Who are those people that you don't think we can have an alliance with? I mean, we're not talking about the Arabs. We're not talking about the Hispanics or Asians or anybody. We're talking about within our Black family, be it whatever they fall up under. Who are the people that you're speaking of that we cannot have an alliance with? Be clear.
I'm talking about the Negroes, Queen. Straight up and down, I'm talking about the Negroes that prop up this system. You know, the slaves for the white man. Those who will hurt their brother, will tear their brother down just to be seen and just to get patted on the back or on the head by the white man. So those are the people I'm talking about, Queen.
I mean, just like the Negro that I was talking about earlier who did what he did to my car, you know, I would love to have united with him, but once you have totally violated and proven yourself to be nothing more than a black beast, a graham cracker, a black devil, then what can I do with you really? How are you going to benefit me? But then you have to look at the grand scheme of things and it's like, well,
Now, if he gets out here, he's ready to bang. If by chance they wake up, I don't know, bro, but you're right. As far as right now, we ain't got no time for the Negro bull crap. We need to go ahead and get it done. But what I'm noticing, though, bro, is that the so-called conscious community are the ones that are beeping the most.
Yeah, yeah. But can I say something about that? Some of these Negroes in the conscious community need to be banged on straight up and down. There's some people out here on some straight Christianity trying to mix Christianity and African spirituality and things like that. Some of them do need to be banged on. I remember about a year or two ago, I was one of the people saying that, you know, we need the peace, we need to calm this down. But after, you know, being around it for a while, Queen, and really seeing what the problem really is in the community, some of these Negroes, we do need to just stay checking them, you know, chin checking them constantly, because they need to be. And you got people in the conscious community talking about we need to work with the police. And now that situation that just happened to the Queen, the black woman who just got, the pregnant black woman just got beat by them cops and lost her kids. That's enough proof right there that we don't need no damn unity with no cops. Straight up and down. Now, I bear witness that some cops want to change the system. But if they few and far and in between, you know, they not going to change this beast. Not at all.
That's
so
right.
You got people, you got elders in the conscious community talking about forming coalitions with the police. So, you know, the people, the same people that brutalize us every day. So, you know, they do need to be banged on, Queen. And, you know, that's just my opinion on it, and I'm pretty firm on it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, bro. You know, you always got love coming from me. I'll see you tomorrow, 8 p.m. BTR, for Sami Show. All right, babe?
No doubt, Queen. Peace.
All right, peace, love. All right, let me get to the switchboard and see who we got next. That's Brother Josh staying elevated. Like I said, he got to be the coolest cat, I've ever met. Anyway.
Am I still on?
Yes, ma'am. I told you I wasn't closing your line. You
okay.
I got to get to another couple of calls. Go ahead. Just what you got to say.
I have to just say that my condolences go out to the sister. That's a very sad story. And also, I love what the brother just said. I'm with him 1,000,000,000%. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, but Brother Jai, I don't know how he can say such in a monotone voice but still make his point so hard. It's like, dude, how do you, anyway, like I said, we learn from each other. But stay on the line. I'm about to get to, I think it's another brother, 314-540. You're on the air.
No, it's the sister. It's Thema.
She's a sister. Hey, Sister Thema, how are you?
Hey, I am fantastic.
That's beautiful.
Yes, how about you?
I am doing absolutely blacktacular. Thank you for asking.
All right. Your question, you were saying you want to know, can we unite? Is this
yes.
What we're saying? This is the way that I see it. It's a matter of scale.
Mm-hmm.
Will all of us unite? Will we have can we say that the majority of us will finally find a common ground and get this thing going? I have to be honest, I don't believe that's going to happen. But I do believe that unity is what? Two parties coming together?
Yes.
It just requires more than one.
Yes.
And I'm saying that the best that I can do is my part.
Right.
That's the best that I can do, because I can't control another human being. I can't make a human being see it my way. But I do.
Right.
I have learned from experience. I've learned from experience that when I put my heart into something and I give it my all, that someone shows up that feels just like I do and is willing to help me toe my line. That's always happened whenever I put my heart into something. And I'm saying that it may start out with two, and then it may turn out to be a dozen, you know, But don't think of it as scale, on such a large scale. Do your part. You have
right.
children. Start with your children. Let one child learn the law. Another child learn agriculture. The other child learn languages. You know what I'm saying? You can start
Absolutely.
Like that with your family. And I'm going to tell you, if you look at the white man's world, the strongest business corporations are families. They are not publicly traded companies. You have them. They're powerful for a while. But it's those old families that started with a husband and a wife that run it, that keep their wealth. Okay, well, I'm saying that as a model. Start with your family, with the unit you do have control over. And I promise you, when you get started, your heart is going to be felt, and you will draw others. That's the only thing I can do. And that's the only thing I think anybody can do.
I think that's powerful, and that's more spiritual than anything. And I don't care what religion you claim or what spiritual path you claim, that's true. You will have stuff to yourself. You will certain people to you as far as I'm being just bombarded with so much black revolutionary love, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I give it so hard. You know, I'm not talking about that old kumbaya revolutionary love. I'm talking about brothers and sisters who call me up, hey, sis, let me check you on something. You,
right.
y'all agree with, you know what I mean? And they tell me, and I love them for it, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
and we build, and it makes Fasami better, and it makes them better, and we grow from it. And we
right.
are united. I can guarantee you there are a couple people in the chat room that I would definitely go to war with.
Mm-hmm.
Side by side, locked and loaded, arm in arm,
yeah.
let's roll, you know. But it's a giving state. Like we're in a time crisis right now. We have to start thinking on a macro level more so than a micro level, and I understand what you're saying. If everybody will do their part on a micro level, starting with your own family, your own home, then it will manifest itself into something larger on a grander scale, you know. I have to agree with you, but it's like, I guess it's the Capricorn in me. I want it, and I want it right now.
That's
what
I am. I'm a Capricorn. Yes. Instant. Right
yes.
now.
Yes. Right now. I want it
yes.
right now. So,
that's it to me.
I thank you so much, Sister Thema. Am I going to see you tomorrow?
Yes, you will.
All right, Sister Love, thank you so much for calling and giving us your insight and your wisdom.
All right,
Queen. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll wait. You will.
Peace.
Peace.
All right, we're going to another 314, number 314-915. You're on the air.
Man, you already know who this is. Black power, black African power. Brother Sun Nubian.
Hi, Brother Sun Nubian. How are you?
I am blacktastic, sister. Thank you for asking. Yes,
you are
yes.
so welcome. My comrade.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's good?
Man, I want to say something. And I'll be quick because I'm operating off of 3 hours of sleep. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just had some things on my mind, man, you know, regarding our situation here that we're in. You know, we can't unite right now. I mean, because we've been conditioned not to, and we've been through a whole lot, man, these past 400 years, man. Hell, you can look at the past thousands of years, man. So we've been going through a whole lot, man, and we wasn't always like this. And it's going to take a long time for us to get out of this situation here. But I understand what you're saying. You want the instant stuff. I do too, man. I mean, hell, if I can have it overnight, I would. I mean, I'd take that
mm-hmm.
any day. But my thing is, how come we can't look at each other the way our enemy looks at us? He does not give a damn if you're Jamaican, if you're Ghanaian, if you're a Hebrew Israelite or a Moor or Nubian, whatever it is. He does not give a damn. You are his enemy, okay?
That's right.
When he looks up enemy, there's your face. So he looks at you as all the same. But, you know, it's really hard for us to look at it like that. You see what I'm saying? And
mm-hmm.
and a lot of that is because of the conditions that we are in. So you know, when we look back in the Garvey days and the Drew Ali days, you know, and 90 years ago, you know, they were trying to figure out our identity, you know, and still today we're trying to figure out our identity, who the hell we are, because, you know, we had everything stripped from us, man, so we're still trying to figure this thing out. But what Brother Son Nubian is saying, put the identity crisis, just put that to the side for a second, because somebody's bucking shots at us, and we need to pay attention, see what the hell is going on. Because while we're standing in the crowd arguing, man, trying to find out what our identity is, you know, there's somebody killing us wholesale, man, and we don't even know who it is.
That's right.
Man. Just showing up everywhere, just bodies everywhere, bodies and babies and men, women, and, you know, it's crazy, man. So, you know, we need, so I think that for us to unite, man, and I want to touch on a little bit what Sister Thema said, you know, we talk about nation building, that's fine, but let's start with the basic, family building. Once we get the family building down, Pat, because our homes are messed up, man, straight up. And so we get the families down, Pat, and then we get the village down, and then we can get the nation. Let's get the family, get the village, and get the nation. One nation, one family, one village. Ashe?
Ashe.
That's right. So,
thank you.
That's all
thank
I,
you so
right.
much.
That's why I just wanted to touch on that, Queen. I won't run my mouth too much.
I got a personal question for you, though. Why you got 3 hours of sleep? What you been doing?
Man, I was up late last night. I had some things on my mind, and this is a good topic about us unifying, man. Last night, I was dreading the thought of going to the plantation and being around a bunch of pink people, man. I'm getting an overdose of them. Just getting tired of it, you know? And so that's how bad I want to be free, man. I want to be free, and then I want to defend that, because we think that because we're free, now we don't have to fight anymore. Hell no.
Right.
We still got to fight, man. We got to defend that. Right. And you can't have a culture without a military. I mean, simple as that. You got to have a military to protect that culture. If you don't have a military to protect that culture, then you don't have a damn culture. That's why we don't have a common unity, a community. We don't have one, man.
Absolutely.
You know, we've been broken down to the lowest common denominator, man. From different color socks we're wearing, we divided because of that. Never mind the damn neighborhood, East Coast, West Coast, North, South. Man, we've been divided from skinny, fat, tall, short, ugly, pretty, everything. Light skin, dark skin, to the damn socks we're wearing. You feel me? I think that just the skin color alone, we should unite on that. Now, but with that being said, just because you're my color doesn't mean you're my kind now. You know, so we have to, like my brother Josh said, man, we have to unite with the minds and the color and the race. The mind and the race. Because race alone, I mean, it's just not going to work. It's not going to work, man. Simple as that. I mean, I would like for it to happen, but give me those 15 people in the chat room. Oh, we can do something. Then 1,000 dummies. You feel me?
Yeah, you know, brother, I'm going to tell you, I guess because I'm trying to have that, or I'm not trying to have, I do have that feminine principle. I want to be optimistic, and I want to have everybody, I want everybody to make it.
That's right.
And I know it means, I heard that before, just because you're my color doesn't mean you're my kind. I got you, but I have to, I guess, remain, like I said, optimistic, because yeah, I'd rather have 15 soldiers than 1,000 dummies. But imagine if you had 1,000 soldiers. And what damage you could do.
You know, that's a great imagination, Queen. I agree. I would love that. I like your imagination. I admire it.
No time for imagination, right? Okay, I got you, bro.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. But give me those 15 people in the chat room, and we can do something. We can do so. I'll roll with just them. If I'm out teaching the people, man, you know, and I got 300 people listening, only 5 of them stay, and 295 leave, and the hell with them, man. I mean, just give me those 5, and we'll work together. We'll build that. But you know, some of our people, they like to join when the house is already, it was almost fixed. When we build this thing from the ground, when we build this nation from the ground up, and when we get finished with the last part, the paint, the finishing touches. Then you got Negroes want to come in. Oh, let me get that for you.
Absolutely. And you know what, brother? And we're going to let them in.
I won't turn them away. But
that's
the way they are. I won't turn them away. You know why? Because I love black people.
That's right. And
these people I say, these people that I say I love, I never turn them away if they were hungry, if they were starving. I never turn them away. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so that's what I stand on, man. So when I say I love black people, I don't beat up on black people. I don't take shots at black people. I save my ammo for the real enemy.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Let's get it.
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's get it.
All right,
God. Thank you so much for calling.
Peace. Black
right,
power.
Peace. Black power. All right. We're about to go ahead and take another call. 601-540, you're on the line.
All right. Hotel.
Hotel, Brother Pianchi, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, before I go on with my little rant, you know what I'm saying, I'd like to thank the sister Maya Haru for telling us this story, and she's a real strong queen for this.
Brother, you have no clue how dignified and strong that sister is. Yes, I think y'all do, just listening to her voice, but her spirit, to see, it's so funny to see, she walks and talks with such great dignity and pride. I think they call it,
yes,
in Swahili, Rafia. And that should be her name, really, Rafia, because she walks with such grace, and she's regal when she deals with these crackers. And it's like, it's beautiful, and I'm just sitting there in awe, like, wow, you understand? This
yeah.
is what you were meant to be. The sister is strong. She's a soldier.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah,
okay.
She is.
Like, okay, you know, it's this is what I got to say about the topic, man, because I hate to say a lot of black people, they too critical of the Black Power movement. Now, a white person, one of them white pastors, Benny Hinn, Paula White, or anybody, they can come to Mississippi or anywhere and have a sold out concert. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, sold out, you know what I'm saying, whatever they call that bull crap, revival or whatever. But if, Malik Zulu Shabazz or if the Honorable Khalid was to ever come down here, I think he did come down here, but that's another subject though for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was to come, if he came down here, I'm telling you, you're talking about only, he'll be lucky to get 20 people, because the thing about it, people are always, like a lot of our brothers and sisters, they like to criticize and say, well, what the Black Power Movement doing? Y'all ain't got no money, blah, 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 because the community won't support us. True enough, we got our faults, you know what I'm saying? It is a lot of infighting or whatever, and there is going to be infighting. You can't show me nowhere in history where there wasn't just a little bit of civil disorder or a little bit of infighting against, you know, with one another. Now, ancient Africa, it was at a very, very low level, and it wasn't really that violent, you know, till the foreigners came in. That's when our beings got violent with each other. But you know what I'm saying? But our people, they always, okay, I understand we got to show and prove, but, you know what I'm saying, we can't do nothing without the community. And that's why you got groups like the Boule. And, you know, I ain't trying to get on no spooky stuff, but that's why you got groups like the Boule and whatnot and other elite black people who don't do nothing for you. Because, and I'm not justifying their actions for being Uncle Tom's, being the race traitors they are, but a lot of those people were hurt by their community when they were growing up. You know, they were hurt by black people. And then when they would get them to the side and spit some of that good game in their ear and just run fast and just pimp to them for a while, they feel like, man, help them Negroes in the hood. All they did was rob me and take my lunch money. So when I go to college and make money, I'm going to get me a white woman and I'm going to join the system and get back at them punks for what they did to me. And you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? And we got to get over that because, you know, that's what the devil, he plays on our personal beast with each other. And that's what I'm realizing.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. That's
now,
right.
Don't
that's
get me wrong.
The national chairman is always trying to drive home to everybody that, look, man, look, you don't have to agree 100% with what I do or say.
I don't have to agree
100% what you do or say. But when we go out here in front of this beast, in front of this juvie, you better believe I got your back and you better make damn sure you have mine. And that's how it's supposed, that's what you call unity. Though we may not agree on everything, we still come out as a united front and we are still organizing for freedom, period. But go ahead, brother. I'm sorry to interrupt, to interject right
there. Oh, no, you ain't interrupt me at all. You know, you good. But, you know what I'm saying, but But yeah, though, you know, and that's why, you know, we gotta get past our personal beefs with each other. I don't care. I'm like this. I don't care if I'm dying or drowning in the river and a white man jump in there and save my life. Why a black man stand on the side scared to jump in the water? Because he been tricked by the white man that he can't swim. So by some stupid stereotype. At the end of the day, okay, that cry to save my life, that's all good, woo-de-woo and all that. But at the end of the day, his people still my enemy, and they still oppressing my people. And I ain't, you know, a lot of our people, they get too blinded by acts of kindness. You can't get, you know, you know what I'm saying? Just like you can't get blinded when your brother, now don't get me wrong now, if a black person do something bad to me, I ain't telling you to be a pumpkin. And just take it because, well, you know, I'm black power and I can't defend myself when a black man does anything to me. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is don't let the white man fool you with his acts of kindness. Because the devil just, and I don't really believe in the Bible and whatnot, but the devil was a master at doing good works. The devil does good to trick you. Like for example, Jim Jones, that cracker who got all them Negroes to go down to South America and kill themselves. Did you know that man fought against the Klan? He was a white member of the NAACP. All the black people in Indiana supported him. And what he did, he took them down there and slept with all them black, all them sisters and got them to poison themselves drinking Kool-Aid. So I ain't blind about their bag. So, you know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be in here all night. Because, oh, I'm sorry, what you saying?
No, I'm just saying I'm agreeing with you. That's right.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
You know, I mean, you can't get into that whole personality worship, and you can't get into the whole fact of, no, this one. Let me explain something to you. The police in my city have a rap sheet on the person who slashed my tires and bashed out my window shield so long it will cover my whole block. From one main thoroughfare to the next, all right?
Right.
The fact is, he's a known woman abuser, and it doesn't matter if it's his woman or any woman. He will beat a woman in a minute. My husband was down in Charleston when he wanted to act eight wild and stupid and like a beast.
Yes, ma'am.
If it were not for my white neighbor standing right there, a man, standing right there at the fence looking at him, if you put your hands on her, you're going to have to contend with me. He refuses to fight men. He refuses to fight men. So my thing is, I'm not going to get so romanticized and sit up here and think that all white people are good. No, this one devil did a good deed. Thank you.
Yes.
Somehow, your consciousness kicked up in your ass. I appreciate you for not letting me get snuck and take a two-piece to the dome. Appreciate it. However, let's not get it twisted. I already know who you are and what you are about, but I appreciate what you did. I don't appreciate you.
See, that's right, you know what I'm saying? Because because I'm saying, it's necessary to every rule and to every people, and you can't get caught up in necessities. And plus, we as the original human beings, we did the greatest deed to the white man at all. We let him live. We taught them culture, so everything they do for us is just payback for what we did for them. That's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
absolutely correct. Wait one second, brother Pianchi. I want to address something, and brother Willock, I know you're whispering to me. We're going to do a show on that. You know what I'm talking about because you're whispering it to me. We're going to do a show on that, all right? I love you, bro, but I'm going to go ahead and get on back to brother Pianchi, and brother Hannibal, I'm coming to you in one second, but go ahead, brother Pianchi. Finish your statement. I'm sorry.
No problem at all. And another thing, I heard you say personality worship, and I was thinking about how every organization, from the churches, from the Black Power organization, even to the street gangs, we as a people, we get too caught up in the Messiah concept and the concept of good leaders. And that's why I look up to the NBPP, because when the Honorable Khalid Muhammad died, some people left and some people went their separate ways, but in general, the organization stayed together and it grew.
Yes, it did. It grew tremendously. And it was because of the foundations this brother laid for us. It was
because of the guidance and the blueprint that he gave for us. I wish that I could spend one day with my grandmother one more time, just a full 24 hours. Just spend it with her. No sleep, no nothing. I just want to spend it with her. I wish I could have a full 24 hours just to annoy the hell out of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and ask him all the questions in the world. You know when your three-year-old or a three-year-old asks you 100 questions in a minute? That's exactly how I would be, just to just pick his brain. Oh, my God, how phenomenal would that be? You know, so I would give anything just for that moment. But, you know, it's as Brother Sun Nubian says, I have a very vivid imagination. Thank you, Brother Sun Nubian. But go ahead, bro. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, no at all. You know, ain't nothing wrong with honoring the ancestor, but you know what I'm saying? But look, the Nation of Islam split. The original BBP went each other's throats. Split.
That's right.
The black guerrilla family, after the Conrad George died, turned into some type of gang banging black mafia. So a lot of times, you know, we need to put a constitution or something in there, because we can't get caught up in idol worship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because when you fish, you never know. These devils, man, when we get a good leader, they are taken. They don't care if you a street gang. They deal with the GDs and the vice lords in Chicago. They took their leaders and locked them up because they got too strong. So you can't get caught up in leadership. And that's why you should keep your leaders, you know, protected and not out there where they can get caught. Because they try
I'm going to tell you the truth. Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, I mean, even though he is the national chairman, when he came down here to Newberry, you just need to see it for yourself to see how well protected this brother is. And furthermore, here I am, a little peon fussing at him. Now, this is the tallest cat out here. You can go to my Facebook page and you can see us on the porch, on Sister Tafina's porch. He is literally the tallest cat in the whole entourage, you know what I'm saying? And he's just moving around like ain't nothing. And everybody's trying to keep up with him and following him. I'm like, Brother Shabazz, would you just please get in the car? He was like, okay, sis, I'm going to do that. And he's just running around here doing this, doing that, talking to this person. I'm like, Brother Shabazz, please get in the car. You are the tallest person out here, and you're just a moving target. I mean, really, you're just a moving target. He's like, you want me to do hide up under the car? No, I want you to get in the car. And it's not being a move, but trust me when I say you're right. We need to build some kind of enclave around our leaders. And he has a nice one. He has a very nice one. He's very protected. I'm not going to get into the security details, but not that I know him anyway, but you know what I'm saying? He's very well protected, and we must protect those of us like that, you know?
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say,
and I'm gonna let you get on to the next brother or sister, and that's just how I felt tonight. And thanks for letting me speak.
No problem, brother. But out of the mouths, the Babes family speaks truth. Thank you, Brother Bianchi. You have a good one now. Peace, God.
All right, peace, God. Peace, Goddess.
All right, family, I'm about to get to my next caller. One of the things that I wanted to go over is something that, and I see Brother Person Kid in the chat room. One of the things that he went over with me is seven things that we need. Now, I would have to do the next show, 2 hours, on the seven things that we need to build our nation. Now, once that's, I want to elaborate some more on it. I'm going to get some more information on it. I'm going to pick his brain some more. But this is something that we have to do. It's a must do. Seven things, the ranging from agriculture, education, medical. It's a whole host of things that, you know, he was giving me. And it's something that I would have to pass on to my brothers and sisters if we are going to get free. In the meantime, in the betwixt, I'm going to go to my next caller. So be looking for that next week, same place, same time, the seven things that we need
to build our nation. I added one, so it's going to probably be 8 things. So anyway, 7 things that we need to build our nation next week, same place, same time, 8 p.m., like I said, Black Power Radio, 626-399, you're on the air.
Hotep, it's Brother Person Kid.
Oh, wow, I was just speaking of you. How are you? How are you, brother?
Sitting here listening, and I was loving what I was hearing out of Brother Pianchi and our sister and, you know, Brother Jog. You know, I'm always loving to hear what we have to say as black folk. I've been listening for quite some time.
Right.
First off, the elder that I gave you the number of, well, no names or no anything else, you just remember that number.
Okay.
He was into social work for 30 years, and so was his wife. You know who they are, as we talked on
yes.
the phone. Please contact
yes.
him. They know the ins and outs of the legal system, especially in social work. I have a sister that also, so their combined years are 60 years in the social services. Any
okay.
information you can garner from them, get it, and get it fast. Now, they've been retired, so it might be a little dated, but this might help our sister out a little bit into, you know, what she faces, what she may, and they might also have people she could talk to in terms
okay.
of law or anything else. But, again, they've been out of it for a while. On
okay.
what Brother Pianchi said, and I have to agree with him wholeheartedly on something, as you know, I always said I like to keep crackers in the pocket just in case I need to, you know, and dispose of them like trash when I need to.
Right.
A cracker that does a good deed is like a skunk that's supposed to smell. They're supposed to do that even though they're not good beings. I won't call them people. I'll just say things. They're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is they're so close to the pits of hell that, you know, let's put it this way. Every good deed that they do gets them from 500 degrees to 499 degrees. They're going to still burn. But their only thing on this planet is to serve, for lack of a better term, like I say, they're like Kleenex or toilet paper. They're things.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to serve us. So others may consider it as a good deed. I consider it like, you know, spitting on the street. That's their job. Their job is to do everything that we want them at, you know, so that cracker that went ahead and did, he was just doing it was doing what it was supposed to, okay? So it is no good deed. It's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a machine. It's like a pencil that you use it, okay? They're not human, so I can actually talk in terms of, and I'm talking H-U-E men as well as H-U-M-A-N. They're not, so
mm-hmm.
they're like a hammer. So, I mean, we'll just leave it at that. On the other thing, if black folk, okay, and I've experienced this, and I think we've talked a little bit, and if we want to be, and of course we're supposed to have unity, it's, you know, I mean, we're the only people that come from the oldest DNA in the world, if they want to call it DNA, but nobody else can trace roots to the first people than us, okay?
Right.
If we are to go ahead and especially vanquish those that are consider themselves human but really aren't, there are very few things we need, 5 little things. 1, we need respect. We've got to respect each other. 2,
mm-hmm.
we need to share. 3, we need to love without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
4, we have to get rid of ego. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we've
mm-hmm.
got the and now here it is again. I lost the 5th one. I had 5 points that I always teach people of these things. There's love, there's sharing, there's respect, there's this is really an important one. See, sharing,
love,
respect,
sharing, respect,
ego, and trust. Okay, trust is the 5th thing. With those, love, respect, ego, sharing, and trust. Now, here's what I mean. Okay, and it's very simple. This is the thing that has pretty much decimated us from the beginning of time. Whether we're looking at what happened and how the non-humans, quote unquote, conquered us over in our motherland to where we're at with the Crips and Bloods, or whether, you know, Sharpton's yelling at Tavis Smiley over the Golden Mulatto, you know, these are the things that have destroyed us. Okay,
mm-hmm.
first off,
mm-hmm.
trust. Now, I mean, we can't trust each other to even, you know, I mean, to even say what color the sky is. You know,
mm-hmm.
you get 5 brothers in a barber shop, and they're going to argue over what color the sky is. You know, I mean, it's hard to say that, but we've been beaten and raped and murdered. The trust has been murdered out of us, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. Next thing,
absolutely
selfishness. We've got to start being able to give each other again. I know a lot of things in the finance industry where we guard, whether it's, you know, finance or whether it's the Negroes and the 50 cents and the Michael Jordans, we will not share. Rather, we would share with crackers, i.e. like the Negro LeBron James that has a bunch of Jews at the table so he can go ahead and have good luck. But he won't share that. You know, he's very selfish, okay? Sharing is also information, okay? Sharing is so important with the little information, whether it's, you know, a lot of times we like to guard this stuff like it's a hungry dog guarding bones. That's going to end up killing us as a race. We need to start sharing information, sharing services, sharing things we know that others may not know. Ego, that's one of the biggest killers of black folk. John Henry Clark said, we'll go through the door of liberation and we'll fight on the way on how to get through it. Okay, that's ego. That's one time I was telling something on a nationalist radio station, and I was telling, and 5 seconds after I got off the line, somebody wanted to debate what I had to say. But see, that's literally, he was evidence of what it is. It's that I'm better than you. I have more importance than you. My valid points are more valid than yours. That ego is going to kill us as a people, okay? We've got trust, the selfish, we've got sharing, we've got the ego, and love. Black folk love everyone else but themselves.
Respect, share, love.
Oh, yeah, yeah, respect.
Ego and trust.
Yeah. Yeah. The respect is, we're always dissing. And that kind of is like the ego thing, the respect. I mean, that's, look at what happens with the, with we were so fast to kill ourselves, whether it be I'm thinking of Burundi, what was happening in Burundi. Eritrea and Somalia and Ethiopia. We're so fast to kill each other because of the so-called respect. Okay, it's so important for us to, you know, he's dissing, he's hating. We have even terms of what we want to quantify, what we think is the most important thing for us as a people. Hey, he's dissing me, she's hating on me, he's this, he's playing. That's foolishness, okay, because you have in the economic industry, and as a teacher of everything from socioeconomics or whatever, I see other nations don't really care about that. Their thing is, how can we conquer others, and in particular those who allow themselves to be conquered because they put importance on foolishness instead of the importance on trying to conquer us. Okay? Keep that as a serious statement. China, India, Malaysia, we saw what's going on with Vietnam and how they're able to conquer Africans. Right now, as we speak, Vietnam's in there doing it. We're looking at the Seychelles Islands. We're looking at certain things, the Canadians in Dar es Salaam. These are things because they said black folk think that they're important to be important. They'll debate about the color of the sky and won't even care why we're going and raping their women and their resources. Okay? That is so important and love. We've got Reverend Chicken Bone. We've got this Lieutenant Colonel Faggot Allen, whatever his name is. We've got, you know, Reverend Chicken Bone Manning. We've got, they love everyone else to the point that they would put us back in chains to show them how much they love them. Or it might be, and it's sad to say, as our sister said earlier, how much they love that cracker Christ, whatever they want to call it, sitting up there and polluting the minds and the bodies of even her own, okay, to show love for some beast, some devil. These simple things, if we're going to unite, it's five very simple things that we have to have. And I'm going to put a little sixth thing out there that we can actually, and it's really important, but it kind of culminates those other five. We have to have the ability to accept the things we don't know and accept things coming from ourselves. I give so much free information that costs thousands, and folks will actually turn a blind eye. Sometimes I don't even get, you know, I mean, this nationalist that I put money into, and I still have yet to get a call from them. And I'm begging them to get this free information. They'll rather get it from a cracker and then say, well, he said, well, I learned it from Peter Schiff, and I learned it from this and that. And I'm like, look, guys, I'm getting this from feeds that I pay all kinds of money from to get it to you free, but you don't even want to take it because it's coming from someone that looks like you. I think I told you about the library I had that had everything from military, militaristic tools to how to save your mortgage to you name it, everything I could put in there.
I'm waiting for you to
out of a million hits, only 21 of them were black folk. 21 black folk out of a million people.
On the drop squad. Brother, I'm waiting for you to put that up on the... Okay.
Yeah, I got to rebuild it. Because once the crackers got into it, they went through the entire thing. You know, so now I have to rebuild the library because I've been begging black folk to get it. And it was on one of the early Ning sites that everybody was going to and had, several thousand members or whatever. And I was begging black folk, take this, it's free. I got all this information. 21 black folk out of a million people, a million other things went ahead and grabbed it because it was coming from me. They would rather get it from a cracker. I'm telling you, and I mark my words. If these things aren't adhered to, and 5 minutes later, somebody will probably try to debate this. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not
anybody's going to be debating what you're saying because it's
right.
True. Our audience recognize truth when truth comes to them, period.
Thank you, sister. I mean, I've seen it too many times because I've traveled everywhere except for Antarctica and the Arctic. And I've seen it globally. These things are going to put us back in chains. Or they'll have sports teams and missiles and helicopters and jeeps named after us, like some other people we know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You ain't lying about that. So let me ask you a question. On those seven things that you said that we needed, that we were discussing, I added in technology as number eight. So I'm going to make it eight things that we need, okay?
Beautiful. I would even like to put a little subparagraph under there. And I'm glad you said that. Can we add and include under that and in the eighth thing, the knowledge of the access to the creation of technology?
Creation of technology, absolutely. So we're going to be discussing this next week, and I would love for you to tune in early because I'm going to need you to hold my hand through this. And we can go ahead and start helping our people because I know for a fact I'm good at education. You're good at finance. Brother Two Black One, the Drop Squad, he's good at media. My cousin, she's good at medical. There's a whole host of brothers in here who are good when it comes to security. I mean, these are all the things that we're going to go over, and we're going to dig real, real deep next week into this, and we're going to go ahead and lay out the platform for them. I don't know how many people have visited our website to actually see the 10-point platform, platform and the 9 local objectives, but we're going to go ahead and add on 8 more things to it. So, you can implement these in your day-to-day life, and we can go ahead and, like I said, get free. Person kids, I'm going to go ahead and let you have the last word, though, because I got one more call I got to take before the show is over. I only got 12 minutes remaining.
I just let folks know, if you really want something, if you really want black folk to be free, we got to act like it and we got to mean it as if it's the last thing we can ever do in our lives, because it might very well be in the next 5 years.
Absolutely.
Hotel
sister. Absolutely. Hotep, brother, I will talk to you next week and also tomorrow, okay?
Okay.
All right. Peace, black man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to go to our last call of
the
evening.
It was the
school
or everything.
516-476, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry, Black Power.
Black Power, who is this?
It's Crystal in Long Island.
How are you?
How you doing? I got some of my people out here trying to enlighten them, get them down with the black power, trying to enlighten them. They need to be enlightened, sister. They're listening to you.
That's beautiful. I want y'all to tune in next week because, like I said, we're going to go ahead and lay out the program for everybody who's listening. We're going to go ahead and start chipping away at this big monster that we call this racism, white supremacy, this big beast. What's up, sister? What's up? What's going on tonight? Can we unite or not?
Yeah, we unite. We in the park. I got everybody listening to the radio. We trying to make this movement national. We trying to get some strength out of New York. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. What y'all doing in the park?
We just chilling, playing spades and stuff.
Play black power, y'all.
Say it.
Play black power.
I don't know. They out here playing like they scared.
All right. So, sister, what do you have to say about us uniting? Because we have to unite before we organize. So
I think we really have to unite. We really have to unite. I mean, as many as we can that's really about the movement. If they're not about the movement, then they can stay home or wherever they are.
Absolutely. Well, since you keep going ahead and getting them comrades together, organizing them comrades, where you at? You said Long Island?
Yeah, him said Long Island,
NYC. All right, well, go ahead and keep getting them comrades together. Get them united, get them organized, get them suited and booted. We're locked and loaded and ready to go.
All right, Sister Black Power.
Black Power, sis. Thank you so much for calling in. I'll holler at you next week, okay?
Okay.
All right, sis. All right, Black family, I'm going to go ahead and open up my sister Tamara. Tamara's mine. Why she hung up again. Lord have mercy. Anyway.
I'm here.
You still here?
See?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
When they come back away.
No, my phone died, and I had to switch batteries with my daughter, with my BlackBerry. I'm like, let me use your battery. Okay, hold on. I'm gonna mute it. I'm gonna mute the phone so you won't hear the back, and I'll turn it down. Hold on.
Okay, sis. So, Black people, now we're hearing some progressiveness, and like I said, we're gonna go ahead. We'll probably do a part two of unity and the eight things we need. Like I said, I changed it from 7 to 8. That's what you do when Black people and when your family and when your loved ones, they give you a blueprint or they give you something, you actually add on to it and you actually build onto it. That's what we're supposed to do. So Brother Person Kid, he gave me this jewel, this priceless gem. And so we're going to go ahead and add some meat onto this next week. It's going to be the 8 things we need to know and we need to do to help us achieve that Black nation that we so desperately desire. Black family. Sister Tamara, you
there? I'm back, sister. Yes, I'm here.
I still hear that daggone. Turn the computer. You just got to get away from
I'm not by a computer. That was the television. I turned it off.
I'm on the TV now.
What's that again?
I said I'm on the TV now because it seems like I hear all that reverb. But anyway, sister, how do you think, what do you think about the show?
I think it was a wonderful show. I think that the sisters and brothers had some great ideas of how we can unite. Basically, my thing is, like the brother said, we can't unite with niggas. That's the problem right there. You know, a lot of us were niggas that have woke up. I feel like I said before, I feel there's some Negroes out there that can still be woken up, but, you know, we running out of time, you know, so the ones that want to wake up, they need to wake up now, and we need to get the show on the road.
Do you think those who have not woken up, or it might take them a little longer to wake up, we should just leave them behind?
Well, me being a
let me qualify that statement, and let me clarify it a little bit more, because I'm just giving you half of a question. Or saying half of something. I'm not talking about those Black men and women that when you look in their eyes, there's nothing there. It's just glossy and glassy. You know it's nothing there. But then you can go to the biggest crook, the biggest criminal, biggest con artist, and when you look in his eyes, you see something there. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Should we wait on those people who actually have a soul, who actually can be waking, or should we just keep it moving and say, oh, well, hell, too bad you didn't wake up when we woke up. We got to keep it moving.
That's kind of hard to say, but, you know, when revolution comes, when it should be, we should be having revolution now, but when it actually comes, we can't wait on them. I'm just keeping it 100. We can't wait on them because they're going to be those ones like, what should I do? Should I go with them? I should go over here. So they're going to be the fence riders, you know, and they're going to wait to see whoever wins. And if the white man win, they did as one anyway. So, I mean, we got to keep it moving. And that's not my nature to say that because I am a mother.
and I love my I love our people. And that's one thing I can agree with King Samir. I love our people more than they hate themselves. I really do.
Okay. Well, listen, since I'm going to ask you to go ahead, I'm about to actually put you back on mute because everybody's complaining about the echo that they hear because it's really loud. I'm
going
to put you on mute. And thank you for actually being my guest host tonight. And I love you dearly, sis, and I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
No problem. Black power. Sorry about the echo.
All right, sis. All right, family. Thank you so much for tuning in. I think we've accomplished a lot. Of course, we're going to talk about the issue. Of course, we're going to talk about the problem. Of course, we're going to not really air so much of our dirty laundry out here for people to dissect and pick apart. But everybody in here, when we're talking about the problems that's going on in the conscious community, no, we don't have to give details. Everybody on this chat, in the chat room and who's on the line, they know exactly what it is that we're talking about. Everybody who's going to listen to the archives who is of like mind knows exactly what it is that we're talking about. So we don't have to get down to the nitty-gritty. Yes, some people do need to be outed. Some people do need to be fronted on. However, like I said, we explored the problem. We didn't air too much dirty laundry. Unity. And us getting unity. The fact is, like I said, I had to ask my family, how free do you really want to be? I'm going to ask y'all that every time y'all hear my voice. How badly do you want to get free? How free do you really, truly want to be? Black family, until next week, same place, same time, we're going to go over 8 things that we need and need to know to get free. Until then, also tomorrow, don't forget to check out my show, 8 p.m. You can, in the search tool, you can search for Sami. And what we're going to be discussing is we're going to have Dr. Umar Johnson on that show. Dr. Umar is a profound school psychologist. The brother, we're going to be talking about saving our babies. It's so many issues facing our children in these schools, in these plantations, I'm going to call it, in these plantations, that is absolutely sad and it's absolutely pitiful. So I'm heading on out tonight, family. I appreciate all the love, all the support. I'm going to go ahead and leave y'all with a little Aisha segment. Once again, tomorrow, 8 p.m. for Sami Show. And then next week, we're going to have 8 things we need to know. And don't forget to catch Brother Sean Kwali, my comrade, 11 p.m. Same place here. Talking about, I actually don't know what he's talking about this Saturday, but I'm sure it's going to be just as enlightening as always. I love you, brothers and sisters, and I'm out. Peace.
It's the way we get down. Click, clack, pow. Click, clack, pow. You don't have to, motherfucker, for your shit. Click, clack, pow. Black no tomorrow, nappy roots, dynasty, yeah. True G black power cartel. This living Hyrule puts the truth in your ear. Run it. These crackers sucking dog dicks in the closet. But you love them cause they pay your first and 15 deposits. Lot of niggas broken, starving with CDs in their trunk. Them dummies signing major deals and white to eating them up. I sit the stairs and he don't guarantee. Some they hate and disagree. Entertainment's only a small revolution remedy. I know a lot of gatos across the country. Stop that lock and load so we can bump and never borrow. Street code propriety, black power dynasty. Fuck boys and skinny jeans can't rock in our society. We should buy food, land, shelter, most choppers. To drain the wicked cat, they deserve them something proper.
Wake up! black man. Wake up, African man, African woman. Wake up. Take back what is yours. Do not ask these bitches for your shit. Take it back.